Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, November 14th. ExxonMobil to sell assets to Hilcorp. Sale includes select conventional assets in the Permian Basin. This story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. ExxonMobil continued its work adjusting its portfolio, agreeing to sell select conventional assets in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. Quote, "We signed an agreement for the sale of select conventional assets in West Texas and southeast New Mexico. The sale is consistent with our strategy to focus investments on advantaged assets in our industry-leading portfolio," an ExxonMobil spokesperson told a reported Telegram. The sale is expected to close in the first quarter of 2025, and operations are expected to continue as normal through closing, the spokesperson added. The multinational giant did not disclose a buyer or the amount of the sale, but Reuters cited sources saying the sale was to Hilcorp Energy for approximately $1 billion. Reuters also reported the company had previously auctioned these assets to shift its focus on shale drilling properties, which offer higher growth and better returns. Perfect ASVAB score achieved. Earned by Legacy High senior Jade Almendares Ramirez. The story was written by Kesley Salinas. Legacy High School senior Jade Almendares Ramirez earned a perfect score on the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, or the ASVAB. Less than 1% of testers into the United States Armed Forces achieve a perfect score of 99. Almendares Ramirez, who grew up in Mexico, moved back to the United States when she was 11 and had to learn English and faced other challenges. Quote, "I came here with a lot of uncertainty, but I knew if I worked hard, I could have the future I wanted," Almendares Ramirez said. This perfect ASVAB score is a testimony of hard work and the support of family, end quote. Almendares Ramirez said that being in the United States Armed Forces was always a dream of hers, even if she wasn't sure which branch she would go into. Quote, "My aunt and my grandpa served in the U.S. military, and I was interested in following in their footsteps from a young age," Almendares Ramirez said. "My interest sparked again when I moved to Midland," end quote. Almendares Ramirez said that she studied during her free time for the ASVAB because she wanted to be in the military. She added that she received a sample test from recruiters and was able to use an online portal to study for the test. Quote, "I cried when I saw my score because I was in disbelief," Almendares Ramirez said. "I stayed up late and studied hard for the test so I could get a passing score. I never imagined I would get a perfect score," end quote. Almendares Ramirez is currently talking with recruiters and plans to enlist after graduation. She is a first-generation high school graduate and will graduate in December, one semester early. She said that she wants to go into the Navy. Quote, "I was indecisive at first, but the Navy has a good program for studying medicine," Almendares Ramirez said. "Studying medicine has always been a goal of mine, and the Navy has a good program to prepare people to go into medicine," end quote. She added that she felt comfortable, talking to Navy recruiters, quote, "When I was trying to decide where to go, I prayed about it," she said. "I had a dream where I was on a boat, and I felt confident in my decision," end quote. Almendares Ramirez said that she believes the military will offer her opportunities to grow, learn, and serve her country. Quote, "It's going into the military not just a dream anymore, but it's a reality," Almendares Ramirez said. "This is also an accomplishment for my family. Never give up, keep working hard, believe in yourself, and know that with determination and faith, you can overcome any challenge and achieve your dreams," end quote. Almendares Ramirez said that she's grateful for the support of her family and her teachers. Quote, "Jade is an exceptional student who embodies the spirit of hard work and perseverance," said Vanessa Wimberly, CCMR coordinator for Legacy High School. "We are incredibly proud of her accomplishments, and I have no doubt she will continue to achieve great things," end quote. New fee sparks dismay. Local industry leaders react to EPA's final rule on methane fee. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Local industry leaders greeted with dismay a new final rule that implements a federal methane fee issued this week by the Environmental Protection Agency. Formerly known as the Waste Emission Charge, excess methane emissions could result in a fee of $900 per ton, with fees rising to $1,200 per ton in 2025 and $1,500 per ton by 2026. The EPA estimates the rule will result in cumulative emissions reductions of 1.2 million metric tons of methane, 34 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent through 2035. That figure is similar to clean air gains from taking nearly 8 million gas-powered cars off the road for a year, the EPA said in announcing the final rule. Quote, "We are disappointed but not surprised with the latest EPA attack on the oil and gas industry," Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, told the reporter Telegram. Continuing the quote, "We are looking forward to working with the new administration to promote common sense energy policy that allows the responsible development of our natural resources while providing enormous economic benefits for our state, our nation, and our allies," end quote. Pushing the submittal and payment of the fee to September 2025 is a slight win, giving the industry time to evaluate the rule and for Congress to act, Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, told the reporter Telegram. Quote, "However, greenhouse gas reports have to be filed by March 31, 2025, for calendar year 2024, and these filings are what the WEC will be based on, so folks need to really plan things out soon," end quote. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, pointed to work done by the industry to meaningfully reduce emissions. He said U.S. flaring intensity fell 46% between 2012 and 2021, and from 2018 to 2022, methane emissions declined as a whole across the nation's top oil and natural gas basins. They fell 44% in the Anadarko, 32% in the Permian, and 18% along the Gulf Coast. In the Permian Basin, methane emission intensity has fallen by more than 75% since 2011, with operators capturing 99.8% of natural gas produced for beneficial use, Staples said. Quote, "It is vital that any action taken by the EPA support these successful efforts and not stifle them. We hope the incoming administration and Congress will work to correct flaws with the manner methane is being addressed and implement policy that will withstand partisan differences in Washington, D.C., Staples said. Independent Petroleum Association of America President and Chief Executive Officer Jeff Eshelman said the fee, quote, exemplifies the worst in legislation. No hearings, no committee reports, no conference report, no statements during floor debate. Now the EPA is using its regulatory authority to interpret the statute to consistently increase the taxable entities, to increase emissions calculations, and to increase waste emissions thresholds while limiting the availability of the exemption. The IPAA maintains the EPA should reverse course, withdraw this proposal and the Subpart W proposal, and limit the adverse effects of the methane tax, end quote. While the new fee drew industry pushback, it also drew support from the environmental community. Quote, flaring, venting, and leaks of methane and other pollutants is a big threat to the health of the people of the Permian Basin and the health of our climate. This announcement will mean less methane waste and air pollution, giving our kids a better chance to have a healthy future on a thriving planet, Luke Metzger, executive director of both Environment Texas and its Research and Policy Center, told the Reporter-Telegram. Midland Odessa businesses offer pre-catered holiday meals for stress-free celebrations. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The holidays can be a stressful time. However, ordering a pre-catered holiday meal with all the fixings may be the solution for a smooth and relaxing meal. Here are a few businesses within the Midland-Odessa area offering pre-catered holiday meals. Big Meats Barbecue. An array of slow-smoked meats, sides, appetizers, and desserts are available in three size options. Prices vary on size order. A deadline has not been specified. Call 432-234-9086 or email bigmeatzbbqcatering@gmail.com for more information. Cozy Lens Suites. Thanksgiving cookie kits are available November 20th through 27th. Prices are $15 a kit. This includes four cookies, four bags of icing, and sprinkles. For a dozen cookies, the price is $48. For a Thanksgiving mini cookie set, the price is $10. Please message to place an order, CozyLinSweets@gmail.com. Cracker Barrel. Choose between a heat-and-serve feast or family dinner offering turkey and prime rib options ranging from $119 to $179.99. A wide selection of pies for $13.99 are also available. Pre-order and receive a free digital bonus card when scheduling a pickup for November 25th or 26th. Order at www.crackerbarrel.com. Half Acre, a holiday meal plus tax, featuring a 6 to 8 pound smoked turkey breast, 2 quarts of stuffing, 2 quarts of green beans, 2 quarts mashed potatoes, 1 quart of gravy and dinner rolls. The cost of the meal is $200. Please order by calling 432-218-7735, texting 432 703-3577 or emailing wecater@midlandmeatco.com. Multiple pickup dates starting on Monday, November 25th through Wednesday, November 27th from the half acre. HEB. Order a holiday meal kit for 4 or 8 guests starting November 18th, available for curbside pickup or home delivery the week of Thanksgiving. Select an oven-roasted turkey breast meal, honey spiral ham meal, or oven-roasted whole turkey meal. Sides include Brussels sprouts with uncured bacon, lobster macaroni and cheese, garlic parmesan green beans, garlic parmesan roasted carrots, and much, much more. Prices begin at $69.99 to $129.99. Dessert options are also available. Visit www.heb.com for additional information. KD's Barbecue. Choose between a 7 to 8-pound whole brisket and 2 12-ounce bottles of KD's barbecue sauce for $149.99, a 3 to 4-pound whole turkey breast and 1 12-ounce bottle of KD's barbecue sauce for $69.99, or a 4 to 5-pound smoked ham and 1 12-ounce bottle of KD's barbecue sauce for $79.99. Order must be placed by Saturday, November 23rd by 8 p.m. Pickup 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, November 26th, or 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday, November 27th. Market Street. Thanksgiving holiday dinner orders will be accepted while supplies last until November 26th. Dinner selections include an entree, sides, dressings, and condiments. Holiday dinners will be available for pickup starting November 1st. Order a turkey breast dinner, prime rib dinner, sweet slice ham dinner, roasted turkey dinner, or 2 different sides-only options. Prices range from $60 to $200. Visit www.marketstreetsunited.com for more information. Midland Meat Company. Bone-in, spiral-sliced, or boneless hams ranging from 8 to 15 pounds can be glazed, $9.99 a pound, or not glazed, $6.99 a pound. 100% organic heritage 8 to 20-pound turkeys, $8.99 a pound. Non-GMO, all-natural, 8 to 25-pound turkeys, $4.99 a pound. Non-GMO, brined, 12 to 18-pound turkeys, $9.99 a pound. And a natural bone-in, 8 to 12-pound breast, $9.99 a pound. Available while supplies last. Call 432-262-464 or email contact@midlandmeatco.com for additional information. Tall City Bistro. This holiday meal will feature a roasted turkey, baked ham, mashed potatoes, green beans, dressing, sweet potatoes, turkey giblets, and a pecan, pumpkin, or apple pie. The price is $280 for the meal. Call 432-247-1223 for additional information, as well as for ordering deadlines and pickup dates. Tall City Meat Market. The Thanksgiving feast includes a smoked turkey breast, smoked glazed ham, 1/2 tray of green beans, 1/2 tray of mashed potatoes, 1 quart of brown gravy, 1/2 tray of cornbread stuffing, bread rolls, 1/2 tray of peach cobbler, or 1/2 tray of banana pudding. The cost of the meal is $250. Pick up in either the Midland or Odessa locations. Hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. from November 15th to November 27th. Call 432-218-7514 to place an order or visit the Midland location. Did we miss a business? Send us an email and let us know. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 14th. Services for John P. Cox, age 78, of Valley Mills, Texas, and formerly of Midland, Texas, will be Saturday, November 16th at 10 a.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. He passed away peacefully on Tuesday, October 1st, at the age of 78. He was born to Jome P. Cox and Irene N. Minor Cox. After graduating from high school, John proudly served in the Air Force. He met and married the late Virginia Ruth Bowman Cox, and they embarked on their life together for over 50 years in Texas and Mississippi. He retired from a long career, predominantly in the oil and gas industry, where he worked as a petroleum landman. John was preceded in death by his wife, his mother, and father. Mr. Cox is survived by his loving family, daughter Julie Rester, son Jim Cox, and several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. John is also survived by his sister, Joyce Ponciera, and brother Bruce Cox. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be made to Scottish Rite for Children in John P. Cox's memory. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Juanita Reyna, age 56, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, November 2nd. Viewing will be Saturday, November 16th, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, November 17th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., with a prayer service beginning at 6 p.m. Sunday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Monday, November 18th, at 2 p.m. at Fairmont Park Church of Christ at 3813 Midland Drive in Midland, Texas. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Santos Manuel Castillo Braceno, age 68, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, November 12th. Viewing will be Friday, November 15th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 14th. Husband is quick to dismiss wife's opinions about home. Dear Abby, my husband and I have three grown children, all of whom still live at home. I had always thought that once they graduated from college and got good jobs, they should start paying rent. Because my husband had to pay rent when he still lived at home, he said he would never do that to his kids. Our oldest, Samantha, is now 31. She has a well-paying job and drives an expensive car. She does barely anything around the house, but does buy her own food and toiletries. The other two help tremendously around the house, often without being asked. Samantha will sometimes do something, but I have to ask multiple times, and usually weeks go by before it gets done. She can't afford to move out because she has a large student loan debt. Plus, why would she move when she lives rent-free and comes and goes as she pleases? Even her dog lives here for free. My husband and I have had many discussions about this at my prompting, and it just leads to us arguing and me feeling resentful toward him. I couldn't enforce anything without his backing because, apparently, my opinion doesn't matter, so I just stay mad and wonder why I am even here. How can I make him realize how wrong he is and finally stop our daughter from walking all over us? Signed, Frustrated in New Jersey. Dear Frustrated, disagreements over child rearing have destroyed marriages. Children should never be allowed to come between parents, which seems to have happened in your case. That your husband makes you feel your opinion doesn't matter is terrible. Does this disrespect spill over to aspects of your relationship other than this disagreement? At 31 and gainfully employed, your daughter should have started shouldering some responsibility for herself years ago. Discuss this with a licensed mental health professional, and you may learn to become more assertive. Dear Abby, I am in a relationship with a lovely man. He respects me, appreciates me, and accepts me, flaws and all, and we get along really well. He's the other half of me. Things are wonderful, except that he's been having really terrible breath lately, like a bad tooth or something. I've always been the quiet, shy type, never mentioning things that bother me. My kid's father abused me for several years, and I feel uncomfortable speaking up. But Abby, his bad breath drives me nuts. When he tries to kiss me, I give him a few pecks, but feel repulsed at the unpleasant odor. How do I address this tactfully and respectfully? I don't want to embarrass him. How do I bring this up? Signed, Putoff in Massachusetts. Dear Putoff, bring this up not as a criticism, but because you love and care about him. Do it not for yourself, but for him. He may be having a problem with his teeth, his gums, or his digestive system. For the sake of his general health, he should be checked out first with his dentist and possibly later with his doctor. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, November 14th. New mayor thwarts payout plan. Former Odessa city manager John Beckmeyer didn't get his payout as ordered by the Odessa City Council Wednesday morning because a temporary restraining order was issued. The Odessa City Council voted 6-0 Tuesday night to accept Beckmeyer's resignation, and the council instructed staff to pay him the remaining 29 months of his contract by 9 a.m. Wednesday. They voted 5-1 to make Deputy City Manager Gopi Bernal the interim city manager, despite the fact City Attorney Dan Jones announced this week he's under investigation by an outside law firm for possible wrongdoing. However, Mayor-elect Cal Hendrick, suspecting Beckmeyer might resign, said he consulted with the Ector County District Attorney's Office earlier in the day on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, District Attorney Dusty Gallivan filed a lawsuit against the city asking a judge to review Beckmeyer's contract to determine if it is valid. He also wants to review a review of Bernal, City Attorney Dan Jones, and City Secretary Norma Aguilar's contract for the same reason. Beckmeyer, the former head of the Texas Republican Party, began his job in August 2022, and in April, the City Council signed off on giving him a 3-year contract that stated he would get paid out for the remainder of his contract if he left early, no matter the circumstances. They also gave identical contracts to Jones and Aguilar, and Beckmeyer gave Bernal the same deal. When filing the lawsuit, Gallivan also asked a judge to issue a temporary restraining order preventing the city from issuing Beckmeyer's check. Ector County District Judge Lori Ruiz Crutcher signed it Wednesday morning, and it was served to Jones around 9 a.m. I filed the lawsuit because it just seemed unusual. First off, the contract seems a little unusual to pay somebody when they resign, and which I think is against public policy and would make the contract void, but the court will ultimately decide that issue, Gallivan said. But when Denise Swanner asked that the money be paid within basically 13 hours from his resigning, that raised a huge red flag as to why the hurry. Why are they trying to do it so quickly? Beckmeyer's contract provides 60 days for the city to pay him. The lawsuit alleges the city council had breached their fiduciary duty to the citizens of Odessa by entering a contract which is against public policy. If the court doesn't intervene, the lawsuit states, the city could end up paying out up to $2 million without a way of getting it back. With the issuing of the TRO, the city not only can't pay Beckmeyer or the others out, it also can't rehire Beckmeyer. Hendrick said he will ask his fellow city council members on November 26 to void all of the 3-year contracts. In any event, Crutcher has set a hearing for November 27th, at which time she would make the TRO a permanent one. Hendrick said things will work differently once he, Craig Stoker, and Eddie Mitchell replace Mayor Javier Hoven, Swanner, and Mark Mata on the council. In fact, they are trying to move up their November 26th swearing-in ceremony to November 19th, he said. We are going to use our heads and be proactive on everything from water to roads to issues like that. We're going to think ahead and try to do what's best for the city, Hendrick said. Talk to the man on the street and there's not a single person in the city of Odessa who thinks this was a righteous act. I haven't found one person who agrees that we should just write a check to him for $700,000. As for Bernal being named interim city manager, Hendrick said it's his option. Bernal would have to accept the offer and has not done so. He believes the new city council will discuss appointing an interim city manager on November 26th and launching a search for Beckmeyer's replacement. Hendrick joked his phone was going to die before lunchtime because of the 500 phone calls he's received since Tuesday night's meeting. Mitchell, too, said he's been fielding a lot of phone calls about Beckmeyer and his check. He wasn't surprised by the resignation, nor will he be surprised if any of the others resign either. I'm telling you, we got to hurry up and get in there because them expletive are going to cost the city some money. They're going to cost taxpayers some money, Mitchell said. In the days after the three-year contracts were approved, City Council members Steve Thompson and Gilbert Vasquez said they thought they were simply approving raises for the trio. They complained no one informed them they'd been given new contracts with new terms. Since the election, rumors have been swirling as to whether Beckmeyer, Bernal, Jones, and Aguilar would deploy what people are calling their golden parachutes. Beckmeyer's annual salary is $250,000. Jones's is $215,000 and Aguilar's is $135,000. Bernal's annual salary is $208,000. This is the second time Bernal will serve as interim city manager. He was named the interim after former city manager Michael Marrero was fired without explanation in December 2022. Bernal was named interim city manager Tuesday night despite the fact Jones told this Odessa American Monday that an outside law firm is in the process of investigating him for possible wrongdoing. Jones declined to comment further when asked to elaborate. Craig Stoker, the at-large councilman-elect, was also livid about the Tuesday night antics. He said the three ousted members are essentially thumbing their noses at Odessans on their way out the door. He said he also has a problem with the lame duck council appointing Bernal as interim city manager while he is under investigation and also because it is not what Odessa needs. The city needs to be managed with kindness and compassion, not fear and intimidation, Stoker said, adding it is time to rebuild morale. Odessan Ronnie Lewis, a GOP precinct chair, was at City Hall before 8 a.m. to let them know voters are watching and to document seeing our mayor and Denise Swanner and John Beckmeyer robbing taxpayers of $700,000. He said he and others are angry and he wants to look them in the eye. All this nonsense from them about cronies and the good old boys and cronies, it is them. Can you imagine? Unbelievable. I was hoping to get a glimpse of them. It is scandalous. Phillips 66 ECISD to unveil partnership. Ector County ISD will welcome representatives from Phillips 66 as they roll out a new partnership to implement the innovative ST Math program November 14th. The district will visit LBJ Elementary, 6401 Amber Drive, from 10 to 11 a.m., and visit classrooms to see the program in action and hear from Phillips 66 about the donation. ST Math, a visually engaging, game-based learning program, has shown measurable success in improving students' mathematical understanding and achievement. Through this partnership, Phillips 66 enables Ector County schools to bring this math program into classrooms. Adams fired from City of Odessa. Odessa's Equipment Services Director, Chris Adams, has been fired, and Ector County District Attorney, Dusty Gallivan, has officially launched an investigation into the controversial figure. According to documents obtained by the Odessa American, under the Texas Public Information Act, Adams was fired Tuesday by the then city manager, John Beckmeyer, based on information discovered during an internal investigation. It is clear to me that you have violated city personnel policy 6.101, paragraph 1, section I, through your unauthorized use of city funds, Beckmeyer wrote. Given the severity of your misconduct, corrective disciplinary action is inappropriate in this matter. Documents also indicate Adams failed to attend his termination meeting with Beckmeyer and was asked to sign and mail Beckmeyer's termination order. Gallivan said Wednesday morning that if he believes there is enough evidence Adams committed a crime, he will ask the Texas Rangers to investigate further. We'll look into the allegations and see if there's anything we need to go forward on, Gallivan said. From what I've gotten so far, the city auditor's office did a pretty good job of reviewing a bunch of things. Last month, the Odessa American filed two open records requests with the city of Odessa after receiving tips that complaints had been filed against Assistant City Manager Agapito Bernal with Human Resources and that Adams had been misusing his government purchase card. The city fought the release of any documents, telling the Texas Attorney General's office it would interfere with the detection investigation or prosecution of crime. The city has a legitimate interest in preserving the secrecy of its records from the eyes of defendants and their counsel in criminal actions, City Attorney Jan Jones wrote. He further stated the city's internal auditor is still investigating and the city of Odessa will need to gather all evidence for the Texas Rangers, and the premature release of information may hinder their investigation. According to emails obtained by the Odessa American this week, the Texas Rangers told Jones they aren't investigating Adams, however, and suggested Jones approach Gallivan. As for Bernal, Jones said Monday he is being investigated for possible wrongdoing by an outside law firm. Earlier this year, Adams was named in a lawsuit filed in Ector County District Court against the city of Southern Tire Mart, which alleges Adams has hostile feelings toward the company, and as a result, the city has intentionally violated Texas law by purchasing tires from a competitor for the last year. The lawsuit alleges Adams falsely claimed STM double-billed the city by more than $180,000 and did not retract that statement despite being shown documents disproving it. Ector County Commissioner Don Stringer also emailed the city manager, John Beckmeyer, back in August that Adams was using a city-owned vehicle to drive back and forth to his home in Lubbock, thus violating a city policy. Emails obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act show Beckmeyer simply told Adams to stop using the vehicle to commute. Other documents the OA obtained also showed four of Adams' employees filed separate, unrelated complaints against him in October 2023, and none resulted in disciplinary action being taken against him. Employees accused Adams of being disrespectful to employees and vendors, drinking at a city event, and driving afterward, discussing matters of a sexual nature, being a cool club member within the city, and openly stating he was going to use his purchase card to pay for golf. Lady of Shalott has performances left. Odessa College's production of The Lady of Shalott has three more performances left, November 14th, 15th, and 16th, all at 7 p.m. It will be staged in the courtyard outside the Globe Theater on campus and in the Black Box Theater. Theater director Aaron Gans said it offers a chance for audience members to move around. If you want a better angle or something live happening in front of you, we encourage people to move and see it. And the actors are rehearsed that way, Gantz said. The theater department collaborated with the Fab Lab Culinary Program and Construction Department for the production. Students in the Culinary Department have crafted complimentary treats themed for the show. Gantz said, "This was something they did for much ado about nothing and have continued to do and will continue to do moving forward because theater is a sensory experience at the Globe." The play is based on a poem by Lord Alfred Tennyson. According to the Odessa Arts website, the work takes the audience on an unforgettable journey into the heart of Arthurian legend. Tennyson's poem, The Lady of Shalott, has enthralled readers for over a century. The mysterious tale of a woman cursed and trapped in a tower has captivated artists the world over, inspiring countless paintings and songs, all in service of answering the ultimate question, who was the Lady of Shalott? Gans said he knew the poem as a song sung by Lorena McKinnitt. My mom bought the CD when I was a little Canadian Aaron and growing up, and she would play the CD over and over. Again, I never even knew it was a poem. I just knew it as a song. Later, when I got to school, I discovered it was a poem, he said. Gans could identify with the story. I have a bunch of teammates right now in set and costume and actors and choreographers who can feel that story too and who don't want to just put up a show but want to unlock something, want to bring audiences to a type of truth, not just about Arthurian legend but about everything that's hidden in art, Gans said. This is not a show that's right for Odessa. It's a show that's right for human beings, he added. The show has a cast of 15 actors. Gans is the director, and there is a costume designer, stage manager, lighting designer, and set designer. We flew in two fight choreographers from Los Angeles to help with some elaborate sword fighting that we have in this piece. But more importantly, to increase the professional aspect of our program, we want this program to be a platform, a trampoline for people to be professionally successful in the performing arts. And now that I'm here, I'm bringing the connections that I have made in the profession from California and New York so that our actors get to work with people who are in the profession, who are, yes, helping them in the show, but are growing their abilities in life, Gans said. The fight choreographers were from Sword Fights Incorporated in California. They have a guest artist from Colorado to help with lighting. He's an expert on voice and speech, textual work with actors, so he put in that time as well, Gant said. He added that the guest artists were flown in for about a week through the grant from Odessa Arts. It's part of the direction our program is moving in the future, which is for every main stage production that we do in the spring and in the fall. We are going to fly in two artists, guest artists, to be able to elevate the production and elevate the professional know-how of our performing artists, who also to build bridges and teach cast members about their craft, Gans said. In the spring, they will stage the Shakespeare play, Cymbeline. The show will be in the outdoor amphitheater, and they will do a special performance at the downtown location. It's about a king at the end of his life, just like Shakespeare was at the end of his life, whose kingdom is won, who has everything going for him. The only thing he hasn't settled is his own family, his own daughter, who loves somebody who is not of royal lineage. Gets married right at the start of the play to somebody below royal lineage. King Cymbeline thinks of that as a long-term threat to his kingdom and banishes her husband, and therein starts the madness, Gant said. Advance tickets for Lady of Shalott are sold out, but there will be a waiting list at the gate. Tickets are $15. As the theater program grows, Gans said they will start to have main stage productions and student productions. On a separate note, Gans said they will be introducing a Marjorie Morris Scholarship starting next year. If a person wants to do this professionally, we are going to make sure they can train with us and it won't cost them a penny, he said. For the first year, they are looking at 5 awardees who will be able to study in the drama program and not have to pay and have all of their courses taken care of and still have extra money on the side to be able to pay for stuff like gas and some other things that they are doing. Students have to get high grades in their classes to be part of the show and contribute to the cabarets that are held each month. They have to be fully immersed in the muscle building that we're doing over here, and assuming they do their work We're investing in them because we're in the space right now where we want to grow out our program and we want to prove to people that our program creates professional success stories. It's not just about a place where you can study and train. It's about a place where you can make something of yourself in the world, Gans said. Those selected for the scholarships will be announced sometime in the late spring or early summer. A Globe Film Festival is also in the works for the end of January and early February. Pet Adoption Events. Grand Companions has scheduled pet adoption events this weekend in Odessa and Midland. On Saturday, November 16th, Grand Companions is going to be out in the community with some adoptable animals from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Petco, 6209 Texas 191 in Odessa. Add a furry friend to your family or just come out to pet some cute pups. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, November 17th, Grand Companions at PetSmart, 4206 West Loop 250 North Midland. You may just find your next Grand Companion. For 35 years, Grand Companions has been a beacon of hope for homeless pets across West Texas. Their mission is to save, shelter, and honor pets as they find their way to loving homes. With locations in both Fort Davis and Midland, Grand Companions has helped countless adopters find the perfect pet and is proud to be a resource in the communities they serve. Obituaries, Mike Bridges Obituary. Mike was born in Claremore, Oklahoma on December 17, 1943 to Morgan Bennett Bridges and Helen Louise Bridges. Graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, November 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Pastor Clydell Chapman will be officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Garden and Funeral Home in Odessa. Tolan Adelbert Hammond. Tolan Adelbert Hammond, 93, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 2nd in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. November 16th at Redeemer Lutheran Church. Eric Stadler officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Carmen Elaine Kuntz. Carmen Elaine Kuntz, 84, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 14th in Lubbock. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. November 16th at Sherwood Church of Christ. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Sammy Dale Tyler. Sammy Dale Tyler, 66, of Odessa, died Friday, November 8th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. November 14th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Mike Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Rick Trevino headlines Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo Concert Lineup. The legendary Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo will pack in the entertainment with two after rodeo dances for the 2025 run from January 2nd through 11th, 2025. Four musical artists will take the stage for the concerts set on January 3rd and 10th in Barn G at the Ector County Coliseum. Rick Trevino, Josh Ward, Denise Moraes, and Brooklyn Finn will be bringing their vocal talents as part of the entertainment lineup. Country music mainstay Rick Trevino will headline on Friday, January 3rd. Trevino's illustrious career has spanned several decades, and he has charted 14 singles, a gold album, and the single Running Out of Reasons to Run, hitting number one on the Billboard Hot Country chart. To kick off the night, Denise Moraes will open. The East Texas Natives tour has taken him from Tennessee to Texas. Maurice has taken the stage at, will take the stage at 9:30 p.m. Texas Ray's Josh Ward will be in concert on Friday, January 10th. Ward amassed 7 consecutive number ones on the Texas Regional Radio Chart and has been named 2024 Texas Country Music Association's Male Artist of the Year. Ward's tour has him everywhere, including headlining at the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas. Regional fan favorite and pride of Midland, Brooklyn Finn will take the stage to get the night started at 9:30 p.m. The Sandhills Rodeo is a beacon for top rodeo action. Cowboys and cowgirls representing the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and Women's Professional Cowgirl Association will start their winter rodeo run here in Odessa. There will be 6 nights of rodeo performances with Butler and Son as the rodeo stock contractor. Tickets for both after rodeo concerts featuring Trevino or Ward go on sale on November 15th. For ticket prices and purchases, visit sandhillssr.com or boxofficesolutions.net. City Attorney Beckmeyer contract is worthless. Within hours of Odessa City Council members ordering staff to pay $700,000 to former city manager John Beckmeyer, City Attorney Dan Jones was telling Deputy City Attorney Gape Bernal to ignore their instructions. According to emails obtained by the Odessa American, under the Texas Public Information Act, Jones told Bernal via a 10:15 p.m. email to hold off on taking action until he and his staff could review the matter. He later copied Finance Director Kaylee Banda on the email. Then, in the middle of the night, Jones emailed Bernal to say that, although the city council named him interim city manager, he needed to accept the position in writing before he took any official action. Secondly, Jones opined that Beckmeyer's contract wasn't even valid. Beckmeyer began his position as city manager in August 2023. In April, the city council approved 3-year contracts for Beckmeyer, Jones, and City Secretary Norma Aguilar that stated if any of them were to leave early, no matter the circumstances, the city would be obligated to pay out the remainder of their contract. Beckmeyer in turn approved the same contract for Bernal. Beckmeyer's annual salary was $250,000. Jones's is $215,000. And Aguilar's is $135,000. Bernal's annual salary is $208,000. However, in an email sent to Bernal at 1:44 a.m. Wednesday, Jones said he went back to listen to the April meeting and realized council member Denise Swanner, who made the motion that night, only used the word contract when discussing his and Aguilar's contracts. That was not done for Mr. Beckmeyer's contract. Only his pay increase was mentioned and discussed, Jones wrote. At no time did Councilwoman Swanner discuss the actual contract for Mr. Beckmeyer. Therefore, in my opinion, Mr. Beckmeyer's contract was not properly approved by City Council since she failed to include the word contract or agreement in her discussion or motion. Jones said Beckmeyer and Mayor Javier Hoven executed an invalid contract. His contract is worthless, Jones wrote Bernal. I advise you not to pay any monies whatsoever to Mr. Beckmeyer. To do so, in my opinion, would place a great deal of liability on yourself, the City of Odessa and the City Council, Jones wrote. This matter is better off being litigated by the City of Odessa, as Mr. Beckmeyer did not come to the City of Odessa with clean hands. At 9 a.m. Wednesday, Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan informed Jones he'd filed a lawsuit asking a judge to review the legality of the contracts, and he had obtained a temporary restraining order preventing the city from paying Beckmeyer. Shortly before noon, the city of Odessa released a statement about Beckmeyer's resignation and named Bernal as the interim city manager. It also updated the city's website to reflect Bernal's new position. A few hours later, the city announced Bernal had not accepted the appointment and would remain deputy city manager. Rest assured, the city will operate as normal, the email statement read.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.